This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast with Dylan and Dean.
You're on Mad Wednesday, and we are joined all the way from Sydney by Andy Lee from True Story with Hamish and Andy. Hello, Andy. How's it going?
Oh, guys, it's an absolute joy to be here.
We've got the in-studio audience going crazy. It's all very exciting. Now, season two of True Story with Hamish and Andy, that, I mean, it's a bloody hilarious show. Did you guys expect to be getting another season?
I mean, you always hope so. What was great about it is after the first season, we had so many people writing in saying, my story is better than that. So you kind of hope that we got to bring their stories to life, and that's what happened. We had over 8,000 story submissions for season two, so we can safely say we've got the best of the best.
What's the judging process for a good, true story?
Well, I mean, one stipulation for us is it has to be family friendly, which does wipe out a lot of the great true stories.
Yeah, so that knocked out probably 6,000 right there, yeah?
that's actually true. We end up losing around about half of them due to the content of the stories. Sometimes our researchers had to ring up the people and go, hey, just so you know, I don't think you should be telling this publicly or to anyone because the police might come after you. They heeded those warnings. But yeah, there's been some great tales.
So how many stories did you? How many applications did you get for season one? If you got 8,000 for season two,
About 1,600.
Okay, so that's massively different.
Yeah, huge uptake. I mean, we're trying to, because the show takes about 16 months to make. We were being very secretive in the first season because no one knew the concept yet. So it was hard to kind of garner those stories, which made things a bit easier.
With all of the stories that ended up on the floor not to be used, have you thought about a possible spin-off, a little bit of a risque version?
A lot of them would make for a great podcast we were discussing. Because often the stories as well, they've been fantastic, but they mightn't make up a full half hour. They're normally just a small, funny happenstance. And we thought that would make a nice podcast, so that could be in the wings. We had one story submitted that I'm not sure would have made up the half hour. A guy wrote in and said, I've got a fantastic story for you. I opened a box of barbecue shapes and there were pizza shapes inside. End of story.
That would actually drive me crazy. I would go into a rampage if I got the wrong ones.
Yeah, I know. So we don't know. I'm not sure if it's a full half hour, but certainly 25 minutes of tracing it back to the factory and working out what happened.
I mean, you guys do pretty creative recreations of it with a lot of Australian comedians and actors, so it's a whole lot. It must be a whole lot of fun to actually take these normal stories and create. I often just think, originally when I heard the premise for this show, I was thinking, imagine that pitch meeting. Oh, people just come and tell us something, and then we just recreate it, and everyone laughs. But it's a bloody hit.
Yeah, I mean, that's when it first came up, we were positive that someone must have done it before. So when we were throwing it around, we just started Googling and it appeared it hadn't, because it seemed pretty obvious things. You know, no, everyone loves a true story. But yeah, the reenactments and the recreations is where we can take a little poetic license, because we can kind of make them wherever we want.
And everyone's got a corker of a story in their life. Like, I mean, you're saying family friendly, got to be able to laugh last half an hour, but everyone's got something that's happened to them or something ridiculous. So there must have been great material that you were getting.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's more twists and turns in here. And for those who, I won't tell the ending of last night's episode, but people might be able to grab it on catch up online now. But yeah, the last night's episode, if people saw it, would have known that there's a cat that arrived dead at this regional airline, and the family was arriving 2 days later to pick up their family pet. And the airline at the time decided to try and replace it and see if the family would notice, rather than just telling the truth. And when we first heard that story, well, the researchers, it seemed like a myth, seemed like one of those urban myths. So it took them 4.5 months to track down the actual storyteller, the person who happened to.
Oh, wow.
And that's one of the burdens that we put on the stories. We want the storyteller, the person who was actually there, telling that tale. And often stories get submitted, and it's the research team have to go on a bit of a hunt or a chase to find out the person.
So it must be a whole lot of fun when you guys are actually recreating it, but when you're sitting in the studio with the actual storyteller and having a yarn about the story, that just looks like an absolute hoot.
Oh, it is. It's the best fun. I mean, Hamish and I went from, you know, going around the world with our mates following us with Handycam, doing silly things, which was heaps of fun, but less life-threatening than just sitting back in a nutshell into great stories.
Now, episode 1 and episode 2, both set in the 80s. Is there something to say about that decade for particular true stories? Or was the extravagance of the 80s, do we produce not as good true stories now?
I think it's the fact that people are now declassified that information. Enough water's gone under the bridge for people to want to talk about these things. We've found that in upcoming episodes, they've actually got two more in the next three are set in the 80s. And it came from, I think, people coming and going, okay, I was embarrassed about this back then, but I see the funny side now. And maybe, you know, stories that are happening right now, people are still, it's still a bit raw for them.
Or maybe people are too busy just putting them up in tweets and things like that and making them really quick stories and not realising they can get corker ones in a couple of years' time.
Exactly. They could have their own mini biopic to show family and friends. I don't know what they're missing out on.
My favourite bit is finding the actors that kind of look like the storyteller. I think that must be the funniest thing for them, is actually looking at these actors that kind of look like them recreating things.
Oh, yeah. And we have lots of fun of that. I mean, Hamish and I only meet the person when we're on stage, but as soon as we step off out of the interview, you know, often we're going, oh, who could it be? Who could it be? And you start reeling off names. But yeah, I've crossed the 10. I think we managed to get pretty good likenesses across all that.
So we were thinking we would do a bit of a true story challenge where Dylan and I would pitch our stories to you and see which one you think would be better for an episode. What do you say?
Okay. Are they actually real true stories?
These are real true stories. I guarantee you these are real true stories.
Okay.
Dylan, do you want to go first?
Fantastic. I'll go first. Okay, so it was a Saturday night in Melbourne. It was during the comedy festival. We're all laughing. I went to a bar and I got friendly with someone, quite friendly, very friendly.
Oh, yeah.
And then Sunday came and I thought, oh, it's the last night of the comedy festival. I'll go visit some shows. I saw one show, very funny. Second show, very funny. I'd been recommended another show by two friends saying it was very, very, very good. And I like sitting in the front row of the audience because I like giving the comedian reinforcement, like, yeah, you're really good. And no one was sitting
you're
in the front row.
That way, aren't you? I'm a giver. Yeah.
I was a giver in both ways, in both parts of the story. And so I was the only person in the front row, only person in the front three rows. There were 12 people in the audience, a very intimate gathering. And I noticed the person looked a bit familiar. I'm like, where do I know you from? Where do I know you from? And then as the set went on, I went, no, you're really familiar. You're really familiar. And they had a distinctive marking on their body. And I'm like, oh, God, you're that person from the night before. And so I just had to try and avoid any contact by being very, very close to someone, a few meters.
But you're not telling the most ridiculous part about the story, is their whole comedy routine was about the fact that they hadn't slept with anyone and couldn't find anybody. And
in 18 months, more like 18 hours. So that's mine.
I like it.
All right, that's Dylan's. All right, my one now. This also happened a year ago on a Saturday night. I was at the Midwinter Gala, the gay and lesbian ball that happens here for the Midsummer Festival in Melbourne, and I decided to look my best. So I was wearing a rubber tuxedo that I had made. I have a nice little suit, squeezed myself into it, was dancing all night long, having a really brilliant time, might have had a few too many shandies, and then decided, party's over, time for me to go home. Got home and realised I don't live with anybody and couldn't get out of the suit. So I'm stuck in a rubber tuxedo at about 1 a.m., on a Sunday morning now, trying to get out of a rubber suit with no way of doing it. So it's 1 o'clock in the morning. What am I meant to do? There's no one anywhere. I can't sleep in this thing because I'm still going to wake up stuck in it. So I decide to get on the gay apps and see who's around. Yep. I live in Collingwood, so I figure that's nice and easy. There's plenty of gay bars. Someone I recognise is going to be around. So I jumped on the apps and kept messaging people I knew, seeing if they were nearby. Sometimes some people would answer thinking I was trying to hit on them. I wasn't, until finally about an hour and a half later, one of my mates was like, "Why do you keep woofing me?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm stuck in my house and I'm stuck in a rubber suit and I need someone to come and help me." And he finally came to my house and helped me get out of the rubber suit.
Wow, both great tales. Yes. Dean, who do we think would play you?
Who would play me? You need a fat Italian. So there's plenty of options when it comes to casting in Australia, quite frankly. I'm trying to think. I don't know. If we maybe dark up Tom Ballard's hair, that'd be fine. I reckon he'd be good. Yeah, sure.
Okay. I mean, like we will often do it as well. This is your opportunity to get the Hollywood version of yourself as well. So you can cast whoever you want.
Well, which one of you has a bigger nose? Hamish or Andy, which one has the biggest nose?
I think Dean's. I love the rubber suit.
Oh, okay.
I think it reminds me of 126 Hours or whatever that James Franco film.
127 Hours.
It was ridiculous. It was pretty stupid. But there you go. I end up on top when it comes to true stories. Now I've got to end up on top at some point in my life. Exactly. So we've already aired two of them, which people can still see of. True Stories by Hamish and Andy, and there's eight more episodes, aren't there?
There is eight more episodes. This week coming up next Tuesday night at 8:40, about Sarah, who wanted to basically work for the Queen. So she's trying to work her way up in fine dining and feels like someone's sabotaging her chances. And there's even the same sex couple in that particular episode. So
tick in the box.
Oh, there we go. Tick in the boxes for joy. Perfect, perfect. And isn't it nice that, you know, we've just committed to the 8:40 time slot finally. We've accepted that the block's always going to go a bit longer. So finally they've just done it. Instead of pretending and fooling us all, we've just accepted that's the way that it's going to be. So it's 8:40 on Tuesday nights.
Or you can catch up on 9 now.
Oh, absolutely brilliant.
Thank you, guys.
Andy, thanks so much for having a chat with us. Do go and check out True Story with Hamish and Andy. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, guys. Love the station.
You're listening to Mad Wednesday on Joy.
There's plenty of ways you can support Mad Wednesday. You can take a load off Dean by making an appearance on his behalf at LGBTI function and events. Or help Dylan by cleaning his bedroom. That place is a pigsty. Or you could simply rate and review this podcast, so more people get to know about Mad Wednesday. Help this Joy podcast grow.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.